Everybody, and welcome to the press. It is our Wednesday show where we set our final card for this week's tournaments. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Good to have you here with us. We'll talk about the Honda Classic. We'll talk a little bit about the LPGA in Thailand. We'll touch a little bit on LIV, maybe Indian Open, very briefly. I mean, we won't get too much depth with those tournaments. To be honest with you, they're just not ones I'm going to bet a whole lot. But we'll talk about the PGA Tour event this week and where we land on our golfers for the week. So, Honda Classic is almost here. Starts tomorrow at the Champion Course of PGA National, one of the toughest courses on the PGA Tour. Truly is. There's a lot of trouble everywhere you look. There's water pretty much everywhere on most of the holes. And the water is positioned in a way that it just invites you to make huge scores if you make substantial mistakes. And sometimes inconsequential mistakes can lead to big scores. And so there are big swings in this tournament, and that makes it difficult to handicap. It makes it difficult to be able to account for all of those kind of random elements that can happen in a round of golf. And that's why you get, a lot of surprise winners here. That's also why this model doesn't always do a great job. My model doesn't always do a great job of identifying players at this tournament. Sepp Straka last year, I think, was in like the 50s in my ranking. But actually, that kind of makes sense, given who he is and how that all turned out. It just turned out to be a more random champion. So it's something you kind of have to figure into each of these kinds of weeks where you get this type of golf course or this type of setup. And I think this is a different kind of tournament than a weaker field event where a lot of things could happen and a lot of players are very similar and the differences between them is hard to perceive. The differences between players in this tournament aren't hard to perceive. The ranking is pretty clear. There's a big difference between some of the best players and a lot of the other players in the field versus like a 3M Open where you're struggling to fill the field, and frankly, a lot of the players are pretty much the same guy, statistically speaking. So there are some differences this week. That all said, we did have some WDs, we did have some field changes. The most notable of those to our card is Alex Noren. He WD'd, which means that bet isn't happening. And that's unfortunate. I really liked him this week, but for whatever reason, he's not gonna compete. So take him out of the equation. So one of your like 20 to 2 to 1 plays goes away. And the top of the board really remains the same. Sun Jam's 10 to 1, Shane Lowry 16 to 1. And I could absolutely like both those guys to bet them. I don't really love the value on them, but hey, I understand it. Aaron Wise at 22 to 1 is a very interesting play. He's had a very good last 12 to 14 months. He is a good ball striker. This is that kind of golf course. You need to be able to strike the ball well and safely first, not have a wide range of outcomes off the tee and with your second shots, your approach shots. He's one of those guys. I can like him this week. And if you don't like him to win, and I can understand why you wouldn't, plus 250 on a top 10 is a pretty interesting wager to me. Billy Horschel, I'm going to walk away from this week. Matt Kuchar, I could be very interested in, though, at 28 to 1. I think he's the kind of guy that can win this tournament because of, again, a steady nature, has a lower ball flight. You don't have to be particularly long to win on this golf course. You just have to be long enough and to be able to get through the windy portions of the round when they come, and they can be quite unpredictable. Adam Svensson, 28 to 1. Minwoo Lee has dropped down to 30. I thought I'd seen him at 25. So it drops down to 30. I don't think a lot of people are going to take him, but I could be interested in a top 10 for him at plus 330. Denny McCarthy at 30 to 1. I really want to bet Denny. I haven't yet. I really want to. I also want to really bet Thomas Dietrich at 35 to 1. And by the way, if you're using the DraftKings promotion, you add plus 300 to any golfer that you're playing with this week, which means you're going to get Dietrich at 38 and Denny at 33. Those are not bad numbers in my view. Taylor Pendrith, I think, will get a lot of love this week. I just think there's too much variance in his game to really like it here. Chris Kirk really interests me at 35 to 1. Seems to play well on those tighter, trickier golf courses. I really like him a lot this week. Then you get down to Will Gordon, who's been bet up a little bit. I think he opened to 55. He's now down to 45. So some people have potentially seen some value in him. Same thing with Christian Bezuidenhout, has been bet up a little bit. A guy I like quite a bit, my model. Same with Ben On, a guy I really like this week. He has been bet up 45 to 1. Already had him in pocket. So hopefully he gets there, but plus 450 on a top 10 for that is also an interesting bet as well. Joseph Bramlett's been playing some good golf. He is 50 to 1. Ben Griffin has been bet up A little bit. I like him quite a bit as well. He's at 50 to 1. Danny Willett, I think, is a name that's going to come back and haunt me if I don't bet him at 60 to 1. Because he seems to play these kind of bad weather, bad conditions tournaments well. And if something happens and that changes, then you got to have him. Patrick Harrington, 65 to 1, could totally win this golf tournament. And I'm going to keep saying that in the event that he does. And if he doesn't, I could say, oh, well, you fell for it. But you could choose not to bet him, of course. But I do think he can win. Mark Hubbard and Eric Van Rooyen at 90 to 1 are very interesting to me. And I will bet Mark Hubbard at that number. Saw him 100 to 1 earlier, I think. So maybe some money has come in on him. I would also be interested to look at Russell Knox at 110 to 1. Plays this golf course well. Very good course fit. I probably will fire on him and go with it. And then Ben Taylor, who I think a similar kind of thing, fits this golf course quite well. I'm going to go with him as well. And then I probably won't go really any deeper than that. Some folks might like Henrik Norlander because of a course fit and some past performance. Yeah, okay. Some people like Vincent Norman. I don't feel like he's shown enough. Pearson Cootie at 250 to 1 is dropped. I might just bet him on a top 10 at 18 to 1. But stranger things have happened. He could win this golf tournament. I legitimately feel that way. He has already won on the Korn Ferry Tour. And the difference between the PGA Tour and the Korn Ferry Tour might seem stark. But in a week like this, it's not that stark. So Pearson Cootie could be a guy that could shock the world this week. He could also miss the cut by 10, depending on how it all plays out. But I could be interested there. And then there are going to be some folks who bet Jonas Blix because he's played okay lately and got a couple starts. And he's not playing world-class golf, but has a glimmer of hope. If you want to go in that path, 22 to 1 on a top 10 could be your fun little lottery ticket of the week. So that's really the names I'm thinking about on the outright board and the top 10 board. Top 20 and top 40 board. We got a really interesting tool at golfnewsnet.com for our members. And it's relatively new, so if you're a member and you haven't checked it out, you should. But if you look at finishing trends on the last 50 events on the PGA Tour, and you're trying to get a flavor for players who finish in the top 40 the most frequently, so you're trying to make a top 40 bet this week, well, that guy is Sun JM in this field. He finishes in the top 40 71.5% of the time in the last 50 PGA Tour events played. Great numbers for a guy that plays a lot of golf. But that's commensurate with horrible odds, minus 450. They expect him to finish there. But minus 165 on a top 20 when he finishes there 57% of the time is not bad. I could authorize that and be interested in it. If you're looking for someone giving some glimmer of hope of plus money, you're going to have to get down to like Patrick Harrington, S.H. Kim, Davis Riley, Eric Van Rooyen. I can get behind Mark Hubbard, Eric Van Rooyen, Russell Knox, those kind of guys that barely plus money, plus 120, plus 125, plus 140 for a top 40 bet if you want to go that path. I feel like that's probably better because then if you make the cut, you've got a really good chance at that. Of course, you're subject to a horrible round, but I feel like the top 20 bets just don't make sense in my brain this week because there are so many things that can happen to you on this golf course that you could be playing really well and wind up well outside the top 20 and still make money. You could also not play that great and be the beneficiary of random outcomes, difficult outcomes that jolt you up the leaderboard. That's hard for my brain to get around, so I would stay in the top 40 range if you're thinking about it. The first round leader wagers, we've seen some movement in the last several weeks where the best players in the field are the ones that are scoring the best. I would strongly advise to look at the weather tomorrow. Don't make this bet until the last minute that you can. Get a good sense of what the weather forecast is going to look like at PGA National. Consider some options. Denny McCarthy would interest me at 45 to 1. Chris Kirk would interest me. Adam Svensson would interest me. Thomas Dietrich would interest me as well in that 40 to 55 range for those kinds of players. And then we always want to look at kind of tournament props. We haven't talked about that yet this week, I don't think, in terms of Honda Classic history. So what we like to do each week, and if you've been listening, then you know this, but we like to go over the history of a tournament to give you the idea of where the finishing trends tend to be in terms of margin of victory. This tournament tends to be tight. There are occasionally blowouts, but if you go back to 2014, the winner of this tournament has won in a playoff or by one shot every year but two. And those 2 years were when Matt Jones won out of nowhere by 5, and then when Ricky Fowler won by 4 in 2017. Every other year has been one or a playoff. So, winning margin bet. One stroke exactly, 225, playoff 300, play them, good arbitrage opportunity there this week. This is one of those tournaments, kind of like the Amex, where for whatever reason, because of the golf course, it just gets to be tight. So I'm willing to go there with that this week. Golfer props out there in the DraftKings market. Nothing really catches my attention a whole lot. I mean, you have those make hole-in-one wagers. You know, it's all at least 100 to 1 to make a hole-in-one. I hate that kind of bet. I mean, good luck to you. But if you want to do a lead after a round one and win bet, you get some kind of interesting numbers. But I feel like what you're getting, like for Sungjae, it's plus 3,500. So you're getting another extra 25 for him to, you know, to lead after round one and win. That's really hard to do. It's just very hard to do that on the PGA Tour. So I just explained that as a reason to not touch this bet whatsoever. Just leave it alone. And then we've got all kinds of different, like, hole score props, like, especially for Aaron Wise, JT Poston, Sepp Straka. I don't like any of those kinds of things. No thank you. Just leave me alone there. But some matchups that you might want to consider that are interesting, and I want to do tournament matchups. I do not like single-round events, particularly in round one. Maybe as you get to round three and four, you can consider it, but even then, I would probably stay away. Ben Ahn, minus 120 against Hayden Buckley. Sign me up. Ben Griffin plus 100 against Cam Davis. I'll take that. Going down the board a little bit. You get Shane Lowry at plus 125 against Sungjae. I think that's worth a play. I mean, I don't think they're that different as players that you could get that kind of difference. So I would look at that. Denny McCarthy over Billy Horschel. I'll take that. Thank you. Not guaranteeing that it's going to work, but I do like it. And that's probably it on the, at least on the DraftKings matchups that I would take. And then go from there. Do you want to touch on LIV a little bit? We did talk about it. They do have team winner pricing here, which is kind of interesting. I don't remember seeing that last year. So I guess they've decided to include that. And they have just the team winner. They don't have... And they have top 10 wagers for individuals. And then they have individuals to win the tournament. So team markets... Your favorites are the Fireballs at plus 400, the Four Aces at plus 450, the Range Goats at plus, that's Bubba Watson's team, plus 550, Torque plus 650. And my view on this is I would take Torque. And I'll say that because if you look at just history of Mayakoba and the players that are on the Torque team, I want to say Twerk, I'm sorry. I don't mean it that way. It sounds like Twerk. On the Torque team, you look at the players on that squad, and you've got Joaquin Niemann, Sebastian Munoz, Mito Pereira, David Puig. I could be interested in Yako. Munoz plays okay down there. Mito hasn't really shown much. The team that you probably want to be most interested in is the Fireballs because of their experience. Ancer and Ortiz have played the golf course very well. Sergio, whatever, Eugenio Chikara doesn't really have that experience, but Ancer and Ortiz are almost kind of worth it unto themselves and could probably get you some value there. So plus 400 is worth it. I think it's kind of a huge slap in the face, and this is just a commentary on the teams, that the Ironheads are not the worst team on the board. It's the High Flyers, which is Phil Mickelson's team. He's got, well, to be fair, Cam Tringali, James Pyatt, and Brendan Steele. I still think they have a better chance than the Ironheads, which is Kevin Na, Scott Vincent, Sawan Kim, and Danny Lee. I don't know about all that. Then on the individual market, to win, Joaquin Niemann and Dustin Johnson are both 8-1. Cam Smith 10-1. And I'm sure those guys have a really good chance, but I think your value play here is Abe Ancer at 11-1, given that he just won the Saudi International and given that he's played this golf course well historically. I think he's a guy you kind of have to go with here. And then beyond that, maybe you consider like a Harold Varner at 35, Carlos Ortiz at 35, and probably just leave it at that. I mean, beyond that, I think you're starting to reach a little bit, unless you really want to, you desperately want to have this ticket and have Cam Tringali at 180-1 or Jed Morgan at 800. And by the way, he is what, 40-1 on a top five? Like, if something weird happens and he has a great 3 days, again, it's the nature of the shootout tournament, a 54-hole tournament, you can get some different kinds of outcomes. I'm not saying to put any kind of serious money on it, but that could happen. It could happen. Just saying. Okay. I want to touch on the Indian Open very briefly. Again, I've kind of recommended staying away from pre-tournament wagers because DLF is really hard. DLF Golf and Country Club. It is a very jarring golf course. I would wait till after round one. The movement I've seen is Shubhankar Sharma. He's moved from like 30-1. He's 22-1 now. So obviously some people took that knowing he's an Indian and a guy who is on the upswing, a guy to look at. SSP Charasia could be an interesting play to me. He's played won this tournament twice. He's 180-1. He knows this golf course probably better than anybody in this field. That would be like my one maybe pre-tournament play, because if he starts playing well, that number is gone. That might be the one and only thing I would consider and then leave everything else alone, because this golf course is really tricky and hard to understand. And then I will touch briefly on the LPGA in Thailand, the Honda LPGA Thailand. Lydia Ko 5-1 to win. She was 4-1 at some other books, so that's not the worst value in the world. She's playing great. I mean, she's really hard to beat right now. I think your only other play here, you may have two others. Maja Stark, 20-1. Lilia Vu, 22-1. After that, leave it alone. And just, if something else happens beyond Lydia, Nelly, Brooke, Taya, and Maja winning, hey, okay. But I think that's kind of unlikely, given the field here. The only other group I might consider is like Hannah Green. And she's, I always kind of like her in these types of events. She's 45-1, worth looking at. I can see Lynn Grant too. She's played some on the Ladies European Tour already this season and is playing pretty okay, 30-1. I could get behind that too. But those are my personal thoughts on those things. I wouldn't make those official plays by any stretch of the imagination, but just wanted to give you something to consider there. That's going to do it for us today on The Press. Going to wrap up a nice week for us. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. Find me on Twitter, @RyanBallingy. If you want to become a member at Golf News Net, it's $50 a year. This is the last full week of that. Then next week, we kick it up to $100 on March 1st. And like I said, we're adding tools constantly, and they seem to be doing well for our members. So if you're interested in joining the fun, let me know. Or sign up at golfnewsnet.com. All right, we will talk to you next week. Have a great winning week. We will catch you on Monday on The Press.